1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to pick back up here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we're going to get into some things. I'm going to read the first five verses, and then just for a reference sake, because we've already read this chapter through. We've already been in this chapter for a few weeks, but I'm going to try to close it up today if I can, okay? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity. When you're following something, that means it's out in front of you. In other words, you're being led. I want to remind you again, the greatest thing that you can be led by is charity. Or the Greek word is agape, God's divine love. Why? Because if you're being led by love and you're following after it, you'll never fail. Love never fails. I don't care what it may seem like on the surface. I don't care what it may seem like at the time. If you're following divine love, it could appear from the outward appearance that you're not going to make it, or you're not going to win. Sometimes it may even look like you're being, it may look like you're a doormat and just being stepped on. But I promise you, Jesus flowed in love. The scriptures tells us that there was, when he was reviled, he did not revile back. There was no guile nor sin in his mouth. Did he fail or did he accomplish? What did it look like at the moment? It looked like he failed at the moment. It looked like they had crucified him and that everything was over. Oh, praise the Lord. But had the devil known what was going to take place through that, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory, the scripture tells us. Oh, praise the Lord. Follow after charity. Always follow love. And there's many scriptures in the Bible that define that for us. We ain't got time to go there, but I just wanted to make that reference again because it's so important. And desire spiritual gifts. Now, the word gifts is italicized. We know that it literally means we should desire or covet earnestly things that pertain to the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We should desire what the Holy Ghost brings to us in this earth. And there's different things that he does. Different things. Now, we're going to look at a particular thing today. Like I said, we're going to try to finish this up in this chapter. But there's many things that the Holy Spirit does. Praise the Lord. Number one, he's always trying to convince the world to believe and trust in Jesus. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send the Holy Ghost to condemn people. You know, we hear this phrase, well, the Holy Ghost convicts us, or he does convict us of our sin. Listen, the only sin he's trying to convict people of is the sin of unbelief, not believing on Jesus. Now, I'm not saying he won't try to lead you away from things that can harm your life, but a lot of times when people says the Holy Ghost trying to convict you, it means like he's trying to, some people attach with that, there's an attachment of condemnation with that. No, listen to me. Jesus said when he has come, he's going to try to convince or convict the world of sin. And then he defined what sin it was of not believing on him. He's always trying to get the world or sinners to believe and accept him. And let me say this, even if we've been born again, no matter what position we're in, he's always trying to show us and encourage us to trust him, to depend on him, to rely upon him. Then, he's also trying to reveal to us righteousness, Jesus said. Righteousness is a standing, a spiritual standing in place that we have because of what he did. And the third thing he wants to do, he's always trying to enforce in our heart and in our thinking that the devil has been defeated. See, when Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, he prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of their understanding. He prayed that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Jesus. And this was all according to what happened when he raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his right hand. Where? Far above all, not some, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And he gave him to be the head over all things, even the church, which is his body. And he put all things underneath his feet. Well, your feet are part of your body. If the church is the body of Christ, and we are the church, we are the body of Christ, your feet is a part of your body. And all things have been put underneath his feet, your feet. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is always trying to reveal to you and witness in you and lead you in your sonship. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And the Spirit of God is bearing witness with their spirit that they are children, are sons and daughters of God. And not only that, but they are heirs and joint heirs. Joint heirs means you're equal in the heart of God with Jesus. You need to see yourself the way God sees Jesus. What does God think of Jesus? I'm talking about right now at this present moment. That's exactly what he thinks of you. And oh, by the way, he's not changing his mind about you. You remember how I told you when I got a revelation of this and began to see this from the Scripture by the Holy Ghost, and then the Lord showed me, he said, Roger, I'm not a respecter of persons. A matter of fact, that's the way I see your wife. She's my daughter. And he said, I will not change my mind concerning her. He said, it will behoove you to hook up with me concerning her the way I look at her. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got it. Now, have we been challenged in those areas from time to time? Absolutely. But let me ask you a question. What is truth? You know what Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 17? He said, Father, thy word is truth. You have to side in with truth. Matter of fact, while I'm on this, we'll get to... Hang on, we're going to get to the other in just a minute. Matter of fact, Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, I told you about that prayer. Later on in the fourth chapter, he encouraged the believers there not to walk as other people walk. I'm talking about non-Christians, Gentiles in the flesh, who have their understanding darkened. In other words, they have no light or understanding, and they think a certain way, they talk a certain way, they walk a certain way. He said, don't walk that way. And he's not talking about the song that Aerosmith wrote. You don't walk that way. You don't walk that way. It's possible for a Christian to walk that way, but you're not to walk that way. Matter of fact, what he said was, he said, you need to be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you need to put on. What do you mean put on? Just like you put your clothes on this morning. You put this on. How do I put this on? You put it on in your thinking. You allow God's word to begin to change the way you think about things. And you put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Remember I said righteousness is a spiritual standing or place that we are in because we believed on Jesus Christ and accepted him as our Savior. And when we put our faith in Jesus and accepted him, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, that by faith and through faith, you accessed yourself into a place now called grace wherein you stand. You're standing in a place now. Because of your faith in Christ. That place is far above all principality and power. And he said, you got to put this on and renew your mind to this continually. And then he said this, wherefore, put away lying. Wherefore is connected to the previous verse. Wherefore means don't lie about yourself. When you say things about yourself that is contrary and contradicts what Jesus Christ did for you through His death, burial, and resurrection, and who you are in Christ, then literally you're not telling the truth about yourself, because Jesus said His word is truth. And He prayed for His disciples and us as well. And He said, Lord, I'm not asking You to take them out of the world at this time, because, you know, we're the salt, we're the light. He said, but I'm asking You to keep them from the evil that's in this world. Not just the wicked and the bad things and murders and things of that nature. Evil can represent just carnality, a carnal mind, just a natural way of thinking, just thinking and talking and walking like everybody else does. He prayed for His disciples. And then He said this, sanctify them, separate them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. What does the word say about you and me? You'll be challenged. I promise you. You'll be challenged in this area. And it's not going to go away until Jesus comes back again. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be discouraged, upset. Matter of fact, we need to encourage ourselves and encourage one another. You know, when you find scriptures in the Bible, it says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember what I have spoken to you, Paul even said, remember things I've spoken to you. Why? Because they're words of truth. They are the reality. Okay? So I just share that with you this morning, because you have to make a decision. For me and my house, we choose to not only serve the Lord, but we choose to allow Him to have the preeminence in our life. We take what He says about what anybody else says. Now, thank God, there's things out here on this earth that we deal with, and there's things that are true. But notice what Paul said to the church. I'm going to close this with this. There's a lot of things that are true, but they're not lovely. And they're not of good report. Philippians chapter 4 tells us to think on the things that are true and are lovely and of good report. If there's any praise or virtue, he said, think on these things. There's a lot of things out there that may be true, but it's not lovely and it's not good. So what do we do? Do we think on those things? No. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you and me, we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, praise God. That's good news. Now, enough there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're still here. Desire spiritual gifts, things of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, or however in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, we're going to finish up this morning. For now, for this series, we always will teach on this down the road. But what we're going to talk about here is the benefit of speaking or praying in tongues is concerning your personal life. There's a difference between tongues that are used in a public service, church service, than those that are used in your own personal devotional life. For example, right here, we see in verse 2, Paul writing to the church, he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Unknown, once again, it's italicized, but they put it in there for reference sake so we could understand. The tongue it's not unknown to everyone. It's just unknown to the person who is speaking it. Why? Because he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak unto men, he speaks unto God. So you reckon God understands it? Absolutely. It's just that when a person prays or speaks in tongues, he don't know what he's saying. His understanding is unfruitful, but God understands it completely. Okay? Notice here. Now think about this. It's very simple. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. But verse 3 says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. He's not speaking unto God. See, right now, you can preach and teach under the spirit of prophecy. Or when you prophesy or prophesying is just inspired utterance, words, utterance that's being inspired by the Holy Spirit in your natural language. That's what prophecy is, or prophesying is. It's when you speak in your natural language, but it is being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, that should be happening when anybody's preaching and teaching. And it's, and the purpose of it is to do three things. It's to exhort, it's to edify, and it's to comfort. But notice here, when you're prophesying, you're not speaking to God, you're speaking to people. Okay? Notice what Paul says here. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, I want to close this up on this. We've already made reference in our past services about this. So what Paul is dealing with is two things here. He's saying when it comes to public worship, when you gather together, it's better that you prophesy than speak with tongues, unless if somebody's going to speak in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. Why? So there can be understanding. Because he talks about in this chapter how that people should be able to understand versus not understanding. People that are ignorant or unlearned, he uses the word unlearned. You remember we start out in chapter 12 where Paul says, I would not have you ignorant concerning things pertaining to the Spirit. So what is important to Paul, because he follows after divine love, he's considerate of people and them being ministered to. He wants them edified, comforted, and exhorted. And in order to do that, you're going to have to speak things where people can understand it and get revelation from it. So he says, listen, if you're going to speak in tongues in a public service, it's needful that you have an interpreter there. If you're going to have a message in tongues, that way people can understand what's being said. Because when you speak in tongues and you have an interpretation, you're not talking to God. The interpretation is going to the people. You're speaking to men. But in your own personal prayer life, when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to men. You're talking to God. That's what the Bible says. It's very simple. All you have to do is read it. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. I want all of you to speak in tongues, yet in a church service. I want everybody to pray in tongues. I want all of you to speak in tongues. But when it comes to public worship, then we need to set some things in order, because what was taking place in this church is they were gathering together and nobody was being taught for the most part. There was no revelation coming forth. People were not being exhorted, edified, and comforted. Are you listening to me? But that doesn't mean that you can't speak in tongues in a church service when people are gathered together. It's okay if we wanted to pray in tongues, if something come up, if somebody come in here, somebody pulled up out there and walked in and said, listen, something just happened, we need to pray. It would be perfectly normal and fine for all of us who pray in the Spirit to pray in the Spirit in here. And those who don't, they can pray in their understanding. That would be perfectly normal. We wouldn't have to have an interpretation. Matter of fact, at the end of this chapter, he says, I'm telling you right now, forbid not to speak with tongues. He said, don't forbid it. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, even in public service and worship service. He had to set some things in order. Okay? Now, we got that. But what is the benefit? What does it profit us in our own life? Because the ministry of the Spirit is to profit every man. We done read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestations of the Spirit in any degree, I don't care if it's speaking in tongues, word of not, you can, anything that's coming from the Holy Spirit is to bring Jesus to people. And let me tell you something, when Jesus shows up to you and you have a revelation and understanding and receive from Him, it profits your life. So, we looked at this last week. We talked about a few things. The first thing we understand is when you're speaking in tongues, you are communicating to God and with God. Matter of fact, in the 14th verse, Paul said this, for if I pray, notice he's talking about prayer life there. He's not talking about a tongues and interpretation in a service. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, who's doing the praying? his spirit man. You're a three-part being. When you pray in your known language, now listen to me very carefully. When I pray in my understanding, when I pray in English, the Holy Spirit can direct that and lead me in it, just like he can lead you in it. It's not that you can't be led by the Spirit in your natural prayer life, in language. But when you pray and speak in tongues according to the Word, your spirit is praying, not your mind. When you pray in English and you're understanding, your mind's in operation and it's helping pray. Your mind. But when you pray in tongues, you're not praying out of your mind. Your spirit, Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. All that's happening is your spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has given that utterance. The Holy Spirit and your spirit are one. He lives in your spirit. He's a person. He's not an it. He. Jesus said, howbeit or however, when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you. He shall show you. He shall teach you. He, not it. He's on the inside of you. He'll give utterance to your spirit. Your spirit will speak those words. It's unknown to your natural mind, and all that happens is your mouth just hooks up with it and speaks out what your spirit is saying and praying. Just like right now, my mouth is hooked up with my mental faculties, and of course my spirit, and all is hooked up with it, you know, getting influenced, but I'm my mind's engaged here as well, my soul, and all my voice is doing is speaking out what's coming to me. It's no different when you speak in tongues. That's why when you speak in tongues, you're going to have to speak. If you're waiting on the Holy Ghost to speak, you're going to wait. The Bible says in Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they, not the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in other tongues. Now, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, but they did the speaking. Just like the Holy Spirit can give me unction and words to preach to you today, but I can stand up here and keep my mouth shut. He's not going to just go overtake me and grab my jaws and pull them open and all of a sudden just automatically stuff coming out of my mouth. It don't happen that way. Tongues don't happen that way either. And if you're waiting on some kind of feeling to overtake you and just something just come out of your mouth without you having any part in it, that has hindered many, many people. Because they just think the Holy Ghost is going to come on them and take over, just like when you have a virus, a stomach virus or something, and all of a sudden you begin to throw up. You know, I've already told you, you get to a certain place, listen, it's happening. You ever been there? I've been there. Tried to stop it, wanted to stop it. Everything within me was saying, don't do it, but it got to a certain point and it was on. It was on. That's not the way speaking in tongues is. And the only reason I say that, I don't mean to be crude or anything, but sometimes that helps people to understand. Because I've dealt with people. I dealt with my own mother. You've heard my testimony, how I tried to pray with her. She wanted to receive. She wanted me to pray with her, but she felt like, and she just thought that it was just going to happen without her speaking or anything. He's just going to make her do it. Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. Now, what are you doing? You're communicating and talking with God himself. Verse 2, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking mysteries. You're speaking, one translation says, divine secrets. Listen, let me just say something. You're reaching out beyond your mind. Oh, what a joy divine. Because you're not engaged with your mind. You're done going beyond your mind, your mental faculties. You're speaking divine secrets and divine mysteries. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit who knows all things, who's giving you this utterance. Why? To help you. To profit your life. To edify you. When you pray or speak in tongues, you're speaking to God and you're speaking mysteries. Verse 4 says, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. And we mentioned this last week. Edify means to build up. Just like you build up a battery. That's where we get our word build up, or to charge a battery when something's weak. We're fixing to look at a scripture here in a minute, Romans chapter 8, where it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmities there is our weaknesses. And it's going to tell us how he does it. It builds you up. It edifies you. Your whole being. Matter of fact, if you take in context Romans chapter 8, which we'll go there in a minute, Paul talked about the flesh and the spirit and walking in the spirit, walking in the flesh. He said, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit if Jesus lives on the inside of you, if you've been born again. And he said, here's the deal about this. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells within you. In other words, he'll help you in every area of your life. You got problems in the flesh, pray in the spirit. You got weaknesses in your body. You got situations going on in your body. Pray in the spirit. You got situations going on in your soul. Other things going on. Pray in the spirit. Why? Because it builds you up. It edifies you. It charges you. It puts a charge into you. We're talking about a divine charge. You notice verse 2, it says, you speak mysteries. One translation says divine secrets. Not just secrets, divine secrets. Jesus talked about this being a part of the dispensation of the church when he was raised from the dead. And he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, these signs will follow those that believe. Everything he listed there was not natural. It was supernatural. One of them was, they will speak in new tongues. Supernatural. Brings a supernatural ability to your life. Now, I'm going to say this again, and I said it last week. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean you're more spiritual than anybody else. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It doesn't mean God loves you more than anybody else. It doesn't mean you're not born again. It doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Listen to me very carefully. What it does mean is that praying and speaking in other tongues will profit your life. It will help you in a way that you cannot be helped in other means or methods. It just profits you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, let's go to Jude right quick. Let's look at this scripture. Just got a couple more scriptures and we'll close it out. Let's go to Jude. Thank you, Lord. Remember, Jude is right before Revelation. It only has one chapter in it. Verse 17, he says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen, notice the term, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, howbeit, however, in the Spirit. In the Spirit means in the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. Right here you hear praying in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit's the same. How do you build yourself up? By praying in the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit. Notice the people above that scripture are people who are sensual. They separate themselves. In the last days, they're not recognizing what is really important, where their focus should be. But here it says, but you, beloved, talking to Christians, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at the next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And he goes on to say a few other things. But notice this. I submit to you, part of praying in the Holy Ghost and keeping yourself built up, it will help keep you in a place of love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. When I said a while ago that this is supernatural, it's supernatural. And matter of fact, speaking or praying in tongues is such an important means to help us usher in supernatural things. Why? Because you're speaking mysteries and divine secrets. Now, go with me, talking about mysteries and divine secrets. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talked about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and so we've already went through this earlier in our study, but he talked about how that he did not want to minister to people with enticing words of man's wisdom. That means that people can literally be enticed by eloquent speech and preaching and teaching. But what he wanted to speak to people is in simplicity. He wrote in his second epistle, we'll look at it when we get over there, he was concerned that people, their minds and thinking be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Jesus. So he wanted to preach something called the cross of Christ, the gospel of grace, the power of God to people, he's not ashamed of, that would reveal righteousness to them. And he wanted to do it in power and demonstration of the Spirit, so that people's faith would be in the power of God. In other words, you believe in the supernatural. Because God is a spirit. John 4:24. And if your faith is in the power of God, God is a spirit. So you got to believe in the power of the Spirit, because God is a spirit, and you got to believe in something that's not just natural, but supernatural. And everything Paul wanted to do is get people's hearts hooked up with the supernatural. That's why speaking and praying in tongues helps you connect with the supernatural. You're speaking mysteries and divine secrets. You're speaking mysteries. Somebody say mysteries. Notice here, he goes on to say this in chapter 2. He said, verse 6, "Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God," what? "In a mystery. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, however, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written," notice this, "as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But," don't stop right there, "but God hath revealed them unto us." How's he going to do it? "By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the few things," some things, most things. No, "the Spirit searches all things, yea, things are on the surface." No, he searches, yea, even the deep things of God. Do you know there's some things that are beyond the surface? Well, let me back up a scripture. There's things that eye has not seen nor ear heard. See, a lot of people think that we're just left out, and there's no way, spiritually speaking, that we can know things that eye has not seen or ear heard. You got to keep reading. But God has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, knows all things. He knows all things, yes, even the deep things of God. He knows things that you haven't seen yet or heard yet. And notice what he's saying here. He searches all things, the deep things of God. Verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man save," the word "save" means except, "except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." You know, there's things that your spirit knows. I'm talking about you. See, you're a spirit being. You know, we talk like this. You know, mamas just have this intuition in them. Mamas do. Well, daddies do too, but you can tell a mama, listen, mama just picks up on things. You can't get nothing by mama. I can tell you this right now. My mama knew things, and even if I tried to lie to her growing up, she knew it. She knew it. You know why? Because she knows things, and the Bible tells us your spirit knows things. You know, your spirit knows things about you that nobody else knows. But let me tell you some things that the Holy Spirit knows about God that nobody knows. But now we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the next verse. So the things that we haven't seen yet or known yet or heard yet, the Holy Ghost can help us. And He knows all things. He searches all things. And yet He's here to help us. Well, how's He going to help us? Well, He's going to help us by giving us utterance and helping us speaking and praying out secrets and divine mysteries. Let's go back to Romans. Take a left in your Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I could stay right there in this verse right here and break that down a little more, but I'd get hung up and we wouldn't finish this. So let's go back to Romans 8. Let's look at something else here. Remember, when you speak in tongues, you're communicating to God, not just people. You're speaking divine secrets or mysteries. Your spirit's praying, not your mind. You're edifying yourself. You build yourself up. Jude 20 says you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray how you do it, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Something we looked at last week, and I'm not going to have time there. Well, we'll see if we have time, but I mentioned Isaiah 28, where Isaiah prophesied about the new covenant, what would take place. He said, "This is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest, with stammering lips and another tongue." See, a lot of times when you're weary, when you're worn out, I'm not talking about just physically, I'm talking about spiritually, soulishly. See, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, charges himself, builds himself up. This is what I'm going to help the weary not be weary anymore, with stammering lips and another tongue. He's talking about the new covenant tongues that would take place at the day of Pentecost forward. Matter of fact, Paul even ran into some what he thought was believers about 20 years later at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. You read about it. He asked him, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" He thought they'd already believed on Jesus. They hadn't even been born again yet. He got them born again, prayed with them, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Now, I'm going to leave you with that in Ephesus because we're going to go to Ephesians here in just a second. But I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. This is very important. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," or our weaknesses. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Now I want to say something, stop right here. That doesn't mean we don't know we need to pray. He didn't say we don't know we need to pray. What he says here, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray." In other words, you can get in a place in your life, you know you need to pray about it. You got a situation going on, whether it's for you personally or something else going on, and you know we need to pray over this thing and pray about this thing, but you just don't know how to go about it. What's the best way? I mean, thank God we can say, "Lord, bless them, help them," and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that sometimes you exhaust everything you can out of your mind and that mentally, and it just you come short a little bit. Seems like. Well, right here, we know we need to pray. We just don't know how we should pray for it as we ought to pray for it. Notice what it says after that. "But the Spirit itself," the King James says itself, but really it's himself. Other translation says himself. "But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us." Well, how does he do this? "With groanings which cannot be uttered." Groanings which cannot be uttered literally means, in the Greek, it literally means groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Articulate speech is your regular speech. So how does the Spirit help us to pray when we need to pray for things that we don't know how we need to pray for, like we need to pray for them? He gives us utterance. "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance," Acts 2:4. When you speak in tongues, you speak divine mysteries and secrets. There's things that you speak that's beyond your mind that you don't know about. The Holy Ghost knows things, and He wants to help us. We just read this in 1 Corinthians 2. Notice what He continues to say. Verse 27, "And He," talking about the Holy Spirit, "and He that searcheth the hearts," you know, we done read right over there a while ago in 1 Corinthians 2 that He knows all things, yea, the deep things of God, knows the mind of the Spirit. It says right here, Paul's saying sort of the same thing. He says, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So let me say it to you like this. When you pray in tongues, or when you pray not in articulate speech, but when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is helping you, taking hold with you against something, helping you pray, and you're interceding and praying about something, and you are praying the perfect will of God, according to what we just read. And this is where the next verse. Now, a lot of people take this next verse and just bring it out on its own. And listen, I don't have a problem with that. But, and is connected to the previous verses. And we know what? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You may not know how you need to pray for as you ought to pray about something. You may get in a place where you're just weary, but with stammering lips and another tongue, the Holy Ghost will take hold with you. He'll give you utterance and help you pray about things in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You're praying secrets, mysteries. You're praying the perfect will of God. You're praying out things that the Holy Spirit knows about that you don't know about, deep things. Listen, you can be praying for someone, and you know, it could be in the area for their health. And yet, I've seen this happen, folks. People can say a lot of things to you when you're around them. But when they are by themselves or to themselves and nobody else is around, what they think or what they may say to somebody else may be totally different than what they've ever told you. But you know what? The Holy Ghost knows that. You may not ever know it unless they tell you, but He knows it, and He can help you pray it out in the Spirit and pray about that situation, what's going on in their mind and their heart, and take hold to try to bring change to that situation and get the will of God done here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's close with this one, because I'm gonna put a bow on this. Listen, did I tell you we can't exhaust this stuff? Listen, I could teach on this for days. I mean, we're just sort of scratching the surface. I'm giving you the high points here. But I'm going to tell you again, the Word of God, man cannot live by bread alone. He must live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My son, my daughter, attend to my words, for they are life to them that find them, and their health and medicine to their flesh. There is nothing above the Word of God. He's magnified His Word even above His name. We talked about it earlier, how important giving and receiving is. I've mentioned this to you. These areas, these are biggies in our lives, and yet the ministry of the Spirit. And I'm telling you right now, guys, we live in a society today, I'm talking about even in the church world, where the ministry of the Spirit, people don't want it. They don't covet it as they should. And listen, I've not arrived. I'm not saying I've arrived in this. Listen, I Lord, help me. Teach me. Show me more. They can testify here on Tuesday nights. We pray. Listen, we're always asking the Lord to give us wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Show us things we haven't seen. Lord, help us. I mean, we need your help. Holy Ghost, listen, it's you. Let me tell you, if the anointing of God and the Spirit of God ain't driving this thing, you're in the flesh. And it's hard. You can't do it. And they're saying, don't get me wrong, and don't, listen, when we teach these things, don't feel condemned. Listen to me, do not feel less than or feel condemned if you don't speak in tongues. That is not the purpose of what Paul is saying here. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world about anything. These people, and I'm going to say this again, this church, they spoke in tongues a lot, but they were very carnal. And Paul had to even address their carnality back in previous chapters. But it doesn't mean that speaking in tongues or praying in tongues does not benefit or profit us. It edifies you. It builds you up. You speak mysteries. It helps you pray about things you don't know you're praying for. It's really the doorway into the divine realm and help you progress supernaturally. It helps open up in the area of things, even revelation and understanding coming to you. Because you can pray in the Spirit, and then you can pray in your understanding. And the reason you can pray in your understanding is because you begin to see things, and things come to you about what you've been praying about in the Spirit. See, that's another thing that we could talk about. I haven't got time to talk about that today. Yeah, that's right. You can pray in the Spirit when you're working outside, riding down the road, taking a shower. Listen, I was letting a rip tater chip this morning in the shower. Praise God. I always do. Listen, that's one of the great, people talk about singing in the shower. I'm serious. People talk about singing in the shower. I don't sing a lot in the shower, but I do pray in tongues in the shower a good bit. Yes. Yeah. Your mind can be focused on something else, but your mind's not praying. You can pray in tongues. Matter of fact, I've been riding down the road in a city like Birmingham, riding down the road praying in tongues in my car, look up and see a billboard or a thing, and I'm reading the billboard with my mind, but I never did quit praying in tongues. I can get you from the mental standpoint, I can get you to count to 100. And ask you, get you start counting 100. And then I can start asking you questions about your life, about your work, about your wife, about your children, and you start trying to answer me both of them. You can't keep counting and then answer the question. You can't, because you're operating out of your mind. But you can pray in tongues and still think mentally about other things and see things. You can pray in tongues and think about the fried chicken you're fixing to eat in just a few minutes that's in the refrigerator. You can be sitting there thinking, I got some fried chicken in that refrigerator I left from 2 days ago. Listen, and we're not making light or making fun of things. Guys, this is awesome. You can do it there. And like I said, we looked at that Isaiah 28:11. This is the place that will help get you in the place of rest. Because I'm going to tell you something. When things are on you spiritually, especially pressure, matter of fact, please, just hang, will you give me just a couple minutes? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to turn to two places, Ephesians chapter 6 and Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and Ephesians chapter 6. Remember I told you when Paul in Acts 19 came to Ephesus? He asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we ain't even heard there be any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? And of course, he ministered to them, got them born again, and then they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Then he writes a letter to this church. Okay? He writes a letter to them. So let's go to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and let's look at this. He's winding this thing down in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of your might? No. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So let me ask you a question. Is he encouraging the church to put on the armor of God so that they can stand against something that's going to come against them called the devil? Would you agree with that? Absolutely. Matter of fact, the wiles literally mean the schemes or the plots of the devil. And then he says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. He goes on to say these things. He says, wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. That you, why do you take this armor? Why do you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Why do you do this? So that you'll be able to stand or withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And he says this, he says, stand, having your loins girt about with truth. Now notice this. Having the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay? Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now notice this. And take the helmet of salvation. And look at this. And the sword of the Spirit of which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit, or however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak, and he's not talking to me, he's talking to God, but in the Spirit he's speaking mysteries. Above all, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you understand that? Isaiah 59. Verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Now, did we just read that over in Ephesians chapter 6? That above all, you're to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Do you know that Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee? Do you understand Paul understood and knew the old covenant better than anybody? But now he's got revelation from Jesus when Jesus rescued him on the road to Damascus and appeared unto him and began to teach him things. And yet Paul, now listen to me very carefully, Paul, In the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, encouraged the believers. He said, finally, you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Listen, and you need to stand against the schemes or the plots of the devil, and you need to put on this armor. And one of the things he listed was the breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation. And yet we see that mentioned here. And he says, and put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Now look at verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood. Now, my Bible's got a comma after the flood, and that's fine. The enemy can come like a flood. It doesn't matter. He's a loser. But I like to say, for man put reference in here of his own doing. I like to say it like this. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know why I like to say it like that? Because Jesus said in John 7:37, when he cried out on that last great day of the feast, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, his innermost being. This spake he of the Spirit which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had not died on the cross. Jesus had not been raised from the dead. But after Jesus was raised from the dead, 50 days later, the day of Pentecost came, and they were all in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost came, and they all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice the phrases, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ephesians 19 we just read here. We've already seen in context he's talking about a breastplate and a helmet. He's talking about an enemy coming in. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Does it sound similar, my brother and sister? Does it even make a connection? I believe so. So, when the enemy comes in like a flood, or when he comes in, I like to say it like that, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. How is he going to do it? Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this is something he was talking about when the Holy Ghost would come. Well, what happened when the Holy Ghost came? The day he came, they were all filled and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Paul says, you intercede for situations and things and people and stuff, and you make intercession with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2. Don't speak to many, speaking unto God. Howbeit or however, in the Spirit, he's speaking secrets and divine mysteries. Let's keep reading here. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is talking about the church. Zion represents the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. And unto them that turn from transgression into Jacob, saith the Lord, And for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Notice God says, my spirit will come, and I'll put words in your mouth. What happened on the day of Pentecost? He came to that upper room. I'm talking about he did. He came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance or gave them words. He said, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And I'm going to follow that up with Acts chapter 2. At the end, when everybody was wondering what was taking place, when they came out of that upper room, and Peter stood up and preached and ministered to them, and he said in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children. We just read in Isaiah 59, he said, this is what I'm going to do in Zion. My spirit's going to come upon them. I'm going to put my words in their mouth. And it's not just going to be in their mouth, it's going to be in their children's mouth. And yet on the day of Pentecost, when they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, Peter stood up and said, hey, listen, you need to repent. Believe on Jesus Christ. Your sins will be, once you believe on him, they're all erased as far as the east is from the west. It's a done deal. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And oh, by the way, it will profit your life. You'll be able to talk to God directly from your spirit. You'll be able to build yourself up and edify yourself in a way you've never known. You'll talk about things that your mind don't even know about. You'll talk about and speak about things and pray about things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or even entered into the heart of man. But the Spirit who knows all things and searches all things, even the deep things of God, he'll give you utterance. And you'll pray about things. And you'll intercede for all saints according to the will of God. And even things you don't know about. It's beyond your mind. You just don't know how you need to pray like you need to pray. He will take hold together with you and give you utterance with groanings which cannot be uttered. And oh, by the way, you will pray the perfect will of God for these people. And you can know from that standpoint that all things will work together for good. And oh, by the way, if you get weary and you're worn out and you don't know what to do, he'll help you and he'll bring a rest to you that will quicken you from your inside out. And it will keep you in a place of love in these last days that will keep you from being distracted and drawn away and over here to something that is so sensual and carnal and devilish. It will profit and benefit your life because he has been given to you to help you. And all these means that come from him in the area of prayer and speaking is for your benefit and for your profit. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord.